I'd like you to turn with me this evening, please, to the book of Exodus. We're turning to Exodus chapter 21. And as you turn to that portion of Scripture, I'd like to begin by thanking the Reverend McClung, first of all, for the invitation to come back again to Newton Abbey, where we served for 13 and a half years. And we're here when this building was erected. And even our brother Robert there talking about the breeze block. And I do remember that and the industrial heaters heating the place before we got it all closed in. But we praise the Lord for his goodness during those years and what the Lord has done here since then. And I do bring you greetings from our church in Port Hope, Ontario, Canada. You wonder, where's Port Hope? Well, if you get the map of Canada and go away east till Toronto and just follow the line of the Lake Ontario, you'll see a little dot and that marks Port Hope. It was founded in the mid-1700s. The first settlers there were going to call it Toronto, but instead they decided on Port Hope as a symbol of hope for the any new settlers that would come in to that area. We weren't very long in Port Hope till we discovered that anyone with a religious background or thought said, well, it really should be called the Port of No Hope because it's such a hard town. In fact, we have visited the town 5 times without one response of anyone coming in. But nevertheless, we bring you greetings there from our church there. Last year was our 25th anniversary. We've been serving the Lord in Port Hope for 25 years. We've been now in Canada, believe it or not, for I can't believe it, 28 years. And of course, it's always good to come home. While we're there for that length of time, Ulster is still home. And we're glad to be here and be home here in Newton Abbey tonight. And I do remember the first Soul Winners Convention. In fact, there's another 40th anniversary that's very much in my own mind as we pass by the Mossley Orange Hall on the 8th of December 1978, which is 40 years ago last December, I was ordained there to the ministry and as the minister of Port Hope. And remember, it was a night something like this because the Orange Hall there got flooded for that particular night, but it was a good night anyway. And speaking of flooding, last Sabbath day, we had, of course, arranged our morning worship service. We've had a lot of snow and freezing rain and rain. A couple of weeks ago, we had 6 inches of snow. A couple of weeks before that, we had another 6 inches, along with freezing rain. And last Saturday night, the temperature started to rise above freezing. And that meant the snow melted and the freezing rain melted. And Dorian and I went to church and went down into the basement. It was okay until 10:30 or 20 to 11. Lady went down into the basement, came up and said, Mr. Granson, the basement's flooded. With all the melting snow, the water had started to come in. We had to cancel our morning worship service, and everybody was sort of all hands on deck downstairs to try and get the basement dried up, and we were able to do that, and thankfully had an evening service. And then I got an email from her son, Aaron. The email, first of all, said, are you ready to talk? I thought to myself, what does this mean? So we contacted him, said the basement's flooded again, even worse this time. So you might remember the folk there. He told us yesterday that they had got it dried up, so Lord willing, we'll be able to have services there in the church tomorrow. But that's just one of the little hazards that you have to face there in Canada with so much snow and cold temperatures. And as I say, I do remember that first Soul Winners Convention. I remember we made out a little Bible marker And on that marker, we had verses of Scripture to be used to lead sinners to Christ. So that you had it in your Bible, and if someone inquired about the way of salvation, you're able to lead them to the Lord through those Bible verses that we had on that Bible marker. We always had the Soul Winners Convention after the Easter Convention in the Martyrs, and there was a reason for that, because whatever guest preachers came to the Martyrs for the Easter Convention, we were able to invite them here for our convention. And we always send out word to all the youth fellowships, and we always had a good time. So it's good to be here for this Easter for this Soul Winners Convention. And as Mr. McClung said, 40 years ago, the first convention was held. So as I say, we bring you greetings from our work in Port Hope, and it's good to see everybody here tonight and the many friends that we have who made the effort to be here this evening and to renew fellowship with the congregation here in Newton Abbey. Returning now to Exodus chapter 21, and we want to deal with the subject indeed of soul winning and of serving the Lord. We all might be soul winners, serve the Lord and lead sinners to Christ. That's what it's all about. I love Samuel Rutherford and his writings. And as Anne Ross Cousins wrote a hymn, Emmanuel's Land, based on the letters of Samuel Rutherford. And there's part of one verse in that 19-verse hymn where Rutherford said, "If one soul from Antwerp should meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land." And that's what it's all about, seeking to win the lost. That when we get to glory, there'll be those there that we had the joy of leading to Christ. May Rutherford's experience be ours also. I want to deal this evening with service and getting into service and serving the Lord. With only one life, it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The rest will be wood, hay, and stubble. We don't want to stand before God empty-handed. We don't want to stand before Him as a vine that bears no fruit. May the Lord challenge us tonight to be His servants, and to serve the Master from the dawn of our lives till the setting sun. Exodus chapter 21, and just be a short reading. Exodus 21 and verse 1. "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." He shall serve him forever. And the Lord bless the short reading of his holy word and speak to us from this portion of Scripture this evening. Before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts this evening, let us just unite now in prayer. O loving God and eternal Father, we once again bow in thy holy presence. We come to thee, our Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee, Lord, for what we have heard tonight already. We thank thee, Lord, for our brother's ministry amongst children. We know, Lord, that thou dost have a special place in thy heart for children, and how thou didst take them up in thine arms, put thy hand upon them, and bless them. And, O Lord, we thank thee that these children that our brother makes contact with are bringing face to face with the Word of God. And like Timothy, who knew the Scriptures from a child, and those Scriptures made him wise unto salvation. May many of those children be made wise unto salvation. Now, Lord, come and shut us in with thyself. Thank thee, Lord, for this congregation, for this place and every memory of it. Thank thee, Lord, for thy servant. Continue, Lord, to bless his ministry in the days to come. Now, Lord, I pray that thou would grant to me the help and the power of the Holy Spirit of God to preach the word. And, dear Lord, in preaching the word, may we preach Christ, always preach Christ. Make much of his blood and his finished work. May he be given all the glory tonight. In his wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Exodus chapter 21. And our text for this evening is that verse 2. Exodus 21 and verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh shall he go out free for nothing. Tommy was what we call a personal worker. That is, he would visit the sick in hospital. He would give out gospel tracts. And when given the opportunity, Tommy would preach wherever he was invited, and preach in gospel meetings and mission halls. In fact, he had a mission hall of his own outside Scarborough. Tommy was a godly man, a godly and a gracious man. He loved the Lord and he served the Lord with all of his heart. I have great love for Tommy Ryans. He's at home with the Lord now, but I owe him much. Before Tandragee Church got a minister of its own, Tommy would often take the services and the prayer meeting, and then on a Monday night he would hold a meeting for the young people that attended the church. I regarded myself then as one of the young people. I attended the Monday night meeting for about 3 months. And remember this particular Monday night, as Tommy was closing in prayer, I remember sitting there with my head bowed, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me that night, and I remember praying, Lord, don't let me leave that tonight without getting saved. Meeting was over and the young people filed out and Tommy was at the door. And we came to him and as always he put out his hand and shook hands and this time he held on to my hand. He said, Reggie, why are you not saved? I knew why I wasn't saved. I loved rock music, rock and roll music. Elvis Presley was my idol. That dates me all right. And other things in my life and I wondered how could I get saved and give all these things up? And Tommy spoke to me at the door, and I said, all right, Tom, I want to get saved tonight. It was a little wooden building there where now the present church is standing. We went back up the church and into the prayer room at the back, and Tommy opened to me the Scriptures, and he read Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I was saved that night. And hallelujah, I've been saved every day since. And I remember going out of the wooden building and walking home into Tandragee, where my wife and I lived. And as someone said one night, when they gave their testimony, they said when they got saved, the dandelions looked like orange lilies. The dandelions looked like orange lilies that night as I walked home, saved by the grace of God. Happy day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray. He caused me to rejoice every day. Happy day. I thank the Lord for Tommy Ryans. I think of it often. What if he hadn't have stopped me that night? I'll always remember that night when Tommy knelt with me and led me to the Lord. I remember something else. I remember how Tommy served the Lord, gave his whole life to serving the Savior, visiting people and so forth. I remember He always wore a little badge on his lapel. And that little badge had just three words on it. Saved to serve. That's all it said. Saved to serve. And those words have stayed with me ever since that night on the 5th of May, Monday night, 5th of May, 1969. And Tommy Ryans was saved to serve. And those three words spoke to me, and I wanted to serve. The Lord had saved me. I wanted to be like Tommy Ryans. The Lord had saved me. Now I wanted to serve him. That's the teaching we have here in this portion of Scripture we read in the words of this passage. Because what we have here is a picture of the child of God and how every Christian, I don't care who you are, every Christian ought to serve the Lord. That's it. Every man, woman, young person here tonight ought to be serving the Lord. As we look at the servant mentioned here, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, the first thing we notice here is the servant and his labors. This 21st chapter of Exodus begins with the judgments, the laws, and the statutes that God gave to Israel for the regulation of their social and civil life. Not interesting. They were to live by the word. As Christians, we're to live by the word. So here God's law governing the responsibilities of servants and masters. And looking at what God has to say about servants, we have a picture of the Christian in his or her service. First thing we notice here is that this servant was purchased. That's what it says. If thou buy an Hebrew servant. So the law was laid down by God, and God stated, if thou buy an Hebrew servant. So when the servant was bought, that servant became the possession of the person who bought him. For six years at least, the servant belonged to his master and was obliged to serve him. And every Christian, everyone tonight who professes to know the Lord as Savior, you know you've been bought. You've been purchased. No, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. You've been bought. Like the Hebrew servant who belonged to the one who bought him, we belong to Christ. He has purchased us. We belong to him. We can maybe grow so familiar with that thought and that truth, we don't really think about it. But the Lord has bought us. We belong to him. We don't belong to anyone else. We belong to Christ. Paul said, ye are not your own. Get that. You are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body, which is God's. So Christ has died for us. Christ has shed his blood for us. Christ has paid the price for us. We belong to him. Nobody else. Nobody else. We belong to him. He has bought and paid for us. Glorify God in your body. He has purchased us. He has saved our souls. Praise his name. But our body belongs to him. Glorify God in your body, which is God's. See? Listen again to the words of Paul. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of man. You're a servant of Christ. That's the title we have. That's the title the Lord has given to us. We're Christ's servants. So having been bought by Christ, we belong to him and we are to serve him. You think of it. How can we do anything else? How can we do anything else? We've been bought by the blood of Emmanuel. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me? who caused his pain, for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love, and can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Sure, we can't do anything else than serve him. Someone does us a favor, helps us out of a hole, as we would say. And what do we say to them? Listen, friend, if there's anything I can do for you, you let me know. I thank you for helping me out. If there's anything I can do for you, I'll do it. What has the Lord done for us? And yet, have we ever said to the Lord, Lord, anything I can do, I'll do it for thee? Have we ever said that? You see that this Hebrew servant was purchased. We see also his position. The Hebrew man was purchased, and he knew immediately what his position was. A servant, he knew that. The moment he was purchased, he knew he was purchased to save or to serve. You can't argue with that. That's what it says. If thou purchase a Hebrew servant, purchase is your servant. And so we see then that his position, first of all, was clear. It was clear. This Hebrew didn't have to ask his master, what do you want me to do? He knew immediately what he was, what he had been bought for. He had been bought to serve. We had been bought to serve. Yes, we praise the Lord for saving our soul and saving us from ever going down into a Christless eternity. Our souls are saved, but is that it then? Do we just sit around and do nothing? We're saved to serve. Tommy's little badge, saved to serve. He got it right. The Lord bought us to serve. To serve him. That's clear, is it not? It's clear. As it was with the Hebrew servant, it was clear to him. He knew what he was to do. And we're to serve, believe. Listen, we're to serve the Lord. We're to give the Lord our time and our talents. It was clear for the Hebrew servant what his position was. So it ought to be clear to us. And we're not talking about those who've been called into the ministry, and we praise the Lord for that, and those who've been called to be missionaries. It doesn't just apply to them. It applies to every one of us here. Every one of us. Everyone who names the name of Christ. You're saved to serve. That's it. No, there's no argument about it. Saved to serve. Listen to this. As the servants of Christ, as the servants of Christ, Paul's talking, as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, Ephesians 6, verses 6 and 7. Paul, of course, is addressing the believers in the church at Ephesus, and he's talking to them, and he's saying to them, as the servants of Christ, talking to them all, the whole church, doing the will of God from the heart. No way when you're asked to do something in relation to a church or whatever, you say, well, I'll do it anyway. I'll do it anyway. But your heart's not in it, sure it's not. As the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Put your heart into it. Do it with all your heart. That was clear. Something else, his position was complete. Mention is made regarding the purchase of the servant that if he came in by himself, then after his years of service, he may go out by himself. There we have an interesting phrase. If he came in by himself, those words, by himself, mean, and it may seem a little strange, those words mean with his body. If he came in with his body, you say, well, that doesn't really make much sense, but it does. In other words, the Hebrew man was bought to be a servant. He was to use his body in the service of his master. Remember what Paul said? Glorify God in your body. See, it all ties in. If he came in by himself, if he came in with his body, and so this Hebrew man was to serve his master with his body. Regarding this master, you'll notice it was a single master. He was the master who bought him. He wasn't to serve anybody else. He was to serve the master who bought him. If thou buy, in the Hebrew, servant. The servant was to serve the one who bought him. He had one master. See? You and I have one master. You and I ought to have one master. That's what the law governing our lives and service is also. Like the Hebrew servant. Listen to what the Savior said. No servant. So the Lord's talking to servants. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That's what the Lord said. I didn't say that. Christ said it. No servant can serve two masters. Listen, Christ has bought us. He purchased our souls. Praise his name. He shed his blood. He has bought us. We belong to him. And he alone is the one we are to serve. Brother, sister, Christ is the one you are to serve. Christ alone. How often do we sing the word, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. King of my life. Well, have you put the crown on him? Or is the crown still in your hand? And you haven't crowned Christ yet as King of your life? Why not do that tonight? Why not say this evening, God has spoken to me. I haven't really been serving the Lord. I haven't really made Christ my one and only master. I haven't made him my king. Well, why not do it tonight? And I'll tell you something, you'll go out of this meeting tonight happier than when you came in. You'll notice he had a single master. He was surrendered to his master. Because he was to give his body to serve his master. His body, remember? Bringing us once again to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. You are bought with a price. You're not your own. You're not your own. The Lord is saying you belong to me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your body as your all on the altar of sacrifice led. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield to him your body and soul. Is it there? Is your body on the altar tonight? See me on the altar lay. Will you be able to say that? See me on the altar lay. My life, my all this very day. O Lord, crown the sacrifice. Now I pray, send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire and accept the sacrifice. Purchased in the position. We see also the period. It was the law of God that no purchased servant could be compelled to serve his master more than 6 years. We see that in verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve. In the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. He had to serve at least 6 years. But after the sixth year and then the seventh year, if he didn't want to, he could go out free. He could leave the master and go away and do something else. We might ask ourselves tonight, from the hour I was purchased, how many years have we served the Lord? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Or have we served him at all? Never done anything for him. Never given out a gospel tract. Never spoken to anyone about their soul. Nothing. On the other hand, maybe here tonight there are those, and you have indeed, like the man who led me to Christ, like Tommy, you've already given your life to the Lord. And your prayer has been at some time or other in some place, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. I'm sure believers here tonight who have, like myself, more years behind them than in front of them. I'm sure you wish you'd served the Lord more. I'm sure you wish you'd done more for him. And tonight you feel I haven't done very much. Maybe somebody here tonight, if you're honest, you say, I haven't done. I just thinking about that would nearly make us weep. What Christ did, the price he paid, and in return, nothing. The number six, he could serve the Lord for 6 years. The number six in the Bible, of course, is the number of man. So it refers to man's responsibility in serving his master. Seven, we know, is the number of completeness or perfection. So when the servant reached 7 years of service, he could go out free and not serve the master anymore. His service was complete in the seventh year. But surely, believer, for you and I, our service is not complete until the day God calls us home. Turn to Acts, please. In Acts chapter 1, here was a verse, words that God challenged me with a number of years ago. Acts 1, first two verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And the words that really got a hold of my heart was, they spoke about all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. We know Christ is our perfect example. Well, there's our example as far as service is concerned. He began both to do and teach until the day he was taken up. Until the day. The day that Christ was taken up, he was still doing and teaching. Remember praying at the time, Lord, give me that opportunity to do and to teach until the day, Lord, that thou dost take me up. That's when my service here on earth will be complete. Let us all then play and say, my Lord, my Master, here, here, take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal king of mine. Quickly, the servant and his labors. You have the servant and his liberty. As we have learned, the servant had liberty to leave his master after 7 years. In the seventh year, he could go out free for nothing. Here we have his decision. His decision. He had a decision to make. The decision was his own. The servant was free to do as he pleased. That was the law of the Lord. He could say in the seventh year, I don't want to serve my master anymore. He was not tied to his master with a ball and chain. That was his liberty. He was free to leave. If he had other things to do in his life, he could do them. How sad if that is a commentary of some believer's life. They find more important things to do than serving the Lord. Sure, listen. Is there anything better? Is there anything more blessed? Is there anything more rewarding than serving the Master? Praise his name. Nothing better than to serve the Master. And surely if the Lord has saved us and he has saved to serve, we're to serve him for a lifetime. I love the words of George Whitfield. Whitfield said, if I had 1,000 lives to live, I would live them all for Christ. Boy, isn't that some testimony. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I would live them all for Christ. He didn't want to do anything else. No, he didn't want to leave off serving his master. If he wanted, if he had 1,000 lives, he'd live them all for the Lord. His decision, his departure. If a Hebrew servant decides to serve the master for 6 years and then leave, he would go out free. And sometimes, sadly, as happened to believers. Maybe some even here tonight, I don't know. You used to serve the Lord, didn't you? You used to be zealous for the Lord. Couldn't keep you in the house at night. So much to do. What happened? What has happened? You haven't been in the harness for the Lord now for years. You turn over to Colossians 4. Colossians 4, verse 10. Colossians 4, we read in verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Word comfort there is a word used for medicine, to ease pain. These men have been a comfort to me, Paul says. Now I go over to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. We come across one of those names again. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Oh, Demas. Oh, Demas. There he was in Colossians 4, amongst Paul's choice servants. And there he is in 2 Timothy 4. He has deserted the cause. He has fallen in love with the world. He has departed, having loved this present. Has that happened to someone here tonight? You were a Demas in those days when you served the Lord. But where are you tonight? Have you, like Demas, departed? The world has taken over your life, not the Lord anymore. Now, wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good for you to put the matter right tonight and say, Lord, thou hast purchased me with thy blood. I confess that I haven't been serving thee as I ought and as I should. Take me back. Make me one of thy. And notice his desolation. He went out by himself. After the years of service, he had nothing to show. He went out by himself. Finally and quickly, you have the servant and his love. Isn't that what service comes down to? It comes down to love. If we love our master, we will want to serve him. And there we read in verses 5 and 6 of our reading tonight, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. In other words, he's given the liberty to leave. It's the seventh year now, he can go out free. But then, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. In other words, the servant was saying, I'm going to stay and serve my master. Why? Because I love him. There's his plainness. That servant shall state plainly, no ambiguity, nothing, no doubt about it, no dishonesty, no bluffing, no playing around, no pretending. I love my master. Do you love your master tonight? Do you love Christ? I can put my hand, my heart tonight, say, Lord Jesus, I love thee. Help me to serve thee even more. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Should we not love him and give ourselves to him? As well as the plainness, you'll notice the priority. Look at that verse 5. And if thy servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children. My master came first. My wife and my children. The master comes first. Comes first. And that's what the Lord taught his disciples. Unless the Lord comes first, he said, you cannot be my disciple. Isn't that how we're to love him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind? The plainness and the priority and the piercing. For we read in verse 6, that then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him for. And so the master would bring his servant, the servant who has said, I love my master. He'll bring him to the door, he'll take an awl in his hand and a hammer of some sort, and he'll bore his ear. And everywhere that servant would go, people would see that hole bored in his ear, and they will know, well, there's a man who loves his master. We know our master loves us. There in Psalm 40, verse 6, you can look it up. Christ was pierced. If the servant, the Hebrew servant, had his ear bored through with an awl as evidence that he loved his master and he would always serve his master, do you know something? Christ had marks of piercing too there in his hands. The word speaks about tears in heaven, and many people have wondered, what about those tears? Why would there be tears in heaven? I'll give you my view for what it's worth. When I get to heaven and I see Christ, the one who's altogether loved, and then I see those pierced hands, I'll realize afresh and realize and understand perfect how much he loved me. By and by, when I look on his beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him. By and by, when he holds out his hands, welcoming hands, nail-riven hands, by and by, when he holds out his hands, I'll wish I had given him more. And that's where the tears will come from. More. So much more. More of my life than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish. Oh, how I wish I had given. Have you given him? Saved to serve. Let's bow our heads and pray. Just in the quietness of the meeting tonight, if God has spoken to your heart and challenged you, and there's somebody here, maybe a backslider, and you once served the Lord, you're once zealous for the Lord, wouldn't this be a good time to put things? Wouldn't this be a good time to lay your all on the altar? Tell the Lord you're sorry. He's the God of the second chance. He'll give you another chance. And ask the Lord from tonight to help you by his grace to serve him. Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Lord, make me a winner of souls. For thy name's sake, if I or the Reverend McClung can be of any help or assistance, do have a word with us. Put the matter right tonight. Or if you're not saved, praise God, you can be saved tonight. You can be saved tonight. The Lord bless you.